Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow children of God, you're at home minding your own business when all of a sudden you hear a knock on the door. You answer it, you greet the person there, and they have this question for you. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Have you welcomed Him into your heart? Now, personally speaking, I've never had someone knock on my door and ask me this question, but I have talked to people who have asked me this. And when you are talking with someone who asks you this question, it all boils down to this issue: does mankind have a free will? Can mankind accept Jesus and His message? And maybe there have been times that you don't know how to answer this question. You don't know, does mankind have a free will or not? And that's what I want us to focus on. I want us to deal with that question: who can accept Jesus and His teaching? For even the people in this account said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? So when it comes to this issue of mankind and free will, there are three different categories that we have to talk about. One, when it comes to everyday, ordinary things, mankind has a free will. You have a free will to eat whatever you want today. You have a free will to wear what you are wearing for church today. You have a free will to do whatever you want for fun today. So when it comes to these things, mankind does have a free will. The second category, mankind has a free will when it comes to civic righteousness. By that I mean this. All mankind has the natural knowledge of God. They know His law that is written on their hearts. Everyone knows that murder and stealing and lying is wrong. Therefore, mankind has the free will to do these things or not to do them. But here's the difference. Even if an unbeliever obeys the natural knowledge of God, that doesn't mean that what he does is pleasing to God. Because Scripture says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists. Which brings us to the third and most important category about free will. When it comes to spiritual things, by nature, before we are brought to faith, mankind does not have a free will. And there's three reasons for that. One, Scripture says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. By nature, there is no spiritual life in us. By nature, there is only death and sin that lives in us. So just in the same way, you don't expect a physically dead person to do anything. So we who are spiritually dead cannot accept Jesus and His message. It is impossible. Another reason that we cannot accept Jesus and His message by nature is because Scripture says the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. By nature, we are enemies of God. Not because of anything that He has done, but that's how we view Him by nature. We hate Him. We want nothing to do with Him. It is impossible for us to submit to Jesus and His message. It just can't happen. And the third reason that we cannot accept Jesus and His message is because Scripture says, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. By nature, we find Jesus and his message to be utterly foolish. By nature, we find Jesus and his message to be offensive. You have experienced that as you try to share the word of God with someone who doesn't believe. They will mock you. They will ridicule you. They will be offended by what you have to say. And so by nature, we cannot accept Jesus and his message. It is impossible. So considering everything that I have just said, that we are spiritually dead, that we are enemies of God and find his message to be foolish, it shouldn't surprise us that we hear these people who would desert Jesus and say, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? But did you notice whom Jesus is talking to here? He's not talking to his enemies. He's not talking to the Pharisees, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law who hated Jesus and plotted to take his life. Jesus is talking to his disciples. And not just his 12 disciples, but anyone who was following him, anyone who was cherishing him. So why is it that these disciples would not accept Jesus and his message? Why would they desert him? To answer these questions, we have to go back to the beginning of this account. At the beginning of this chapter, it tells the story of thousands of people flocking to Jesus, and he has compassion on them. His heart goes out to them. He heals their sicknesses. He cures them of their diseases. He preaches God's word to them. But eventually it becomes late. The people have nothing to eat. But Jesus took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and he miraculously fed them all. But when the people had their fill, they wanted to take Jesus by force and make him their earthly king. Jesus, when he heard this and what they wanted to do, he left the crowd. He sailed across the Sea of Galilee, but the crowds followed after him. And when they found him, they basically asked Jesus, why did you leave us? Jesus says, the reason I left you is because you're not doing the work that God wants you to do. They asked him, well, what is the work that God wants us to do? And Jesus says, the work of God is this, to believe in me, not as a physical earthly king, but as your Savior. When the crowds heard this, they asked Jesus to give them a sign, just like when God sent down bread from heaven to feed the Israelites. To this, Jesus responds, your forefathers ate that bread that came down from heaven, and yet they died. But I am the bread of life. I am the one who has come down from heaven. Everyone who feeds on me, everyone who believes in me, will have eternal life. When the crowds heard this, they were offended. They grumbled and complained among themselves by saying, how can Jesus claim that he came down from heaven when we know who his parents are? We know where he grew up. We know what he's like. And that is why they say in this account, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And do you notice what Jesus does? He doesn't change his message. He doesn't soften it in any way. Rather, he reaffirms it by saying to them, does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. Jesus is trying to reach out to these people with his words, which are spirit and life. He wants them to believe in him. And yet these disciples, even though they have experienced Jesus' love, even though Jesus had compassion on them and he healed their sick and cured them of their diseases, they deserted him. So many people deserted Jesus that he even turned to his 12 disciples and asked them, "Are you going to leave me too?" And that's where Peter makes that great confession. And he says, "No, Lord, we are not going to leave you." And yet we know what's going to happen with Peter later on. Peter will deny knowing Jesus 3 times, even calling down curses upon himself if he ever knew Jesus at all. And another one of the 12 disciples, Judas, we know what he will eventually do. He will betray Jesus to death for 30 pieces of silver. And so we see Peter, Judas, and many of his disciples did not perfectly, personally accept Jesus and his message in their lives. And it's so easy to look at them and easily critique what they do. But we are no different. In fact, dare I say, do we act in a way that's even worse than what they did? Yes, Peter denied knowing Jesus, but remember the context of his denial. Jesus was arrested and put on trial and will quickly be sentenced to death, and Peter is in that courtyard. So if Peter stood up for his faith and said, "Yes, I know Jesus and accept his message," he too could be arrested, put on trial, and killed. And in no way am I trying to defend Peter for what he has done. But do we ever deny Jesus for far much less? Has your life ever been threatened because of your faith? I highly doubt it. I know it hasn't happened to me. And yet we can deny Jesus. Maybe we deny him because we don't want to deal with certain situations. Maybe we deny him because we don't want to make people upset. Maybe we deny him because in the end, it's a lot easier to save our own skins by denying him than to accept any suffering as a believer for Christ. Yes, Judas betrayed Jesus to death for money. And once again, I am not defending Judas at all. But do we ever betray Jesus for far much less? Do we ever betray Jesus simply to gain more popularity, to gain more friends, and so we can stick in with the crowd? Do we ever betray the promises that we have made to God at our confirmation, that we will be faithful to him and his word and worship, and we will denounce Satan and his temptations? And yet, because of our sinful choices, we do not bring glory to God's name, but rather only dishonor. And sometimes we can treat his word and his worship in complete disdain. Just like these many disciples who deserted Jesus, we too have received God's love. He has graciously given us salvation. He has given us every blessing. He has removed sorrow and suffering and given us times of joy and happiness. And yet, we are still tempted to desert him. Just like these people who asked Jesus, "Well, give us a sign that we should believe in you." Can we be so crass to say, "Lord, give me some sort of sign. Give me any proof that you love me and that I should believe in you." Maybe we try to twist God's arm in a certain way by saying, "Lord, if you don't do these things, I will leave you. If you don't do these things, I will take my family and my children and we will leave this church and we will desert you. And so in our own lives, we see that we do not perfectly, personally accept Jesus and his message. And for that, we should be the ones who turn to Jesus and ask, Lord, are you going to leave me? Are you going to deny, betray, or desert me for what I have done? And you know the answer to that question. Jesus should, but he doesn't. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't deny you. He doesn't desert you. He doesn't betray you. And if you want any proof and guarantee of this, look again at the words that Peter said. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. How is it possible for these disciples to believe, know, and accept Jesus and his message in their lives? After all, we have established that by nature we are spiritually dead. We are enemies of God and find his message foolish. It is impossible for us by nature to accept Jesus and his message. But what is impossible for us is possible with God. Although by nature we are spiritually dead, God the Father, who once said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has made the light of salvation shine in our hearts. As we heard in the verse of the day, Jesus Christ has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It is his word that is spirit and truth and life. Although by nature we are enemies of God, while we were still enemies, Christ died for us. He has reconciled us with God. He has given us peace. And he did that on the cross. For on the cross, Jesus didn't declare, "My Father, my Father." He said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He became an enemy of God, for God punished him for all the wrongs that we have done, so that we will no longer be enemies of God, but dearly loved children of him. Although by nature we find God's message to be foolishness, Scripture says, "We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us." It is the Holy Spirit through God's word that has changed us from viewing Jesus and his message to be foolishness to becoming people who believe in Jesus and his message. So when it comes to us being brought to faith and accepting Jesus and his message, all praise, glory, and honor belongs to God alone. As Jesus once said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." It is God who has welcomed us into his heart. But what about all those times that we have deserted him, denied him, and betrayed him? What about all those times that we have not perfectly, personally accepted Jesus and his message in our lives? There's forgiveness for that. Although Peter denied knowing Jesus, Jesus did not deny Peter, but he welcomed him back and forgave him. Although Judas betrayed Jesus to death and unfortunately took his own life, there was still forgiveness for him. For God never betrayed his promise that he would send a Savior for all people who would save us from all sin. Although many people deserted Jesus in this account, Jesus did not desert them. For he sent his disciples out to share the word with them, to bring them to faith. And what God has done for these people, He does for you and for me. He does not deny us. He does not betray us. He does not desert us. But rather, he always calls out to us for repentance. And in repentance, we receive his forgiveness. And God has not removed his Holy Spirit from us. But rather, the Spirit lives in us, who moves us to will and to act according to his good purpose. And you have seen that in your life. There have been times that you haven't denied him before others, but stood up for your faith. There have been times that you didn't betray him, but you were willing to endure everything for him. There have been times that you didn't desert him, but you stayed true to him. And once again, all the praise, glory, and honor belongs to God, who helps us to personally accept Jesus and his message. That is why, like Peter, we too can confess, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." And so, dear children of God, the next time someone asks you the question, "Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Have you welcomed him into your heart?" maybe now you're a bit more prepared to answer this question about our free will. By nature, we cannot accept Jesus and his message. And we see proof of that when we personally don't perfectly accept him and his message in our lives. But it is God who has brought us to faith. It is God that has made us believe in Jesus, and to accept his message is true. And it is God who helps us to confess this faith in our life. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.